It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, comedian and TV star Tracy Morgan visits Milwaukee tonight. He joins the show in just a bit.
First, in a recent piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Senator Ron Johnson criticized the Obama administration's handling of the deaths at an American consulate in Libya in 2012 and how it's handled information about the event since then.
His Republican colleagues in the House set up a new committee to continue investigations of the Benghazi incident. Ron Johnson joins us now. Senator Johnson, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Rob. Hello, Veronica. How are you doing?
Really good. So in that piece we mentioned, you were making the case that the public should still care and should still be trying to hold the Obama administration accountable. Why should this be a top issue in the public's mind?
Well, first of all, we haven't been told the truth, and I think Americans deserve the truth. I think the survivors of those four dead Americans deserve the truth. And you know, one of the things that has driven me from almost a couple of weeks after the Benghazi incident is I had a father of a young Marine come up and very forcefully demand that I get the truth for him, because he wanted to know whether his young Marine was serving under the command of a commander-in-chief that would really just throw away the age-old tenet of the military, leave no man behind, which really that was the outrage during the attack, that even though nobody knew that this thing was going to be over in 12 hours, nothing was sent to help the people in Benghazi, and that is an outrage.
What information is still out there, do you think, that hasn't come up in investigations until now?
Well, we have no idea really what President Obama did during the attack. We don't really know what Secretary Clinton was doing. Nobody's been held accountable. You know, the outrage before the attack is really the fact that even though the security situation in Benghazi was well known to everybody, and there were repeated requests for increased security, those requests not only were denied, they actually ramped down security. And I really truly believe, it's conjecture, but I think it's based in pretty sound reasoning, that just a small contingent of armed guards that the military would have supplied, I don't think that attack would have even occurred. I think that attack would have been deterred and four Americans would still be alive. So that's really the dereliction of duty that nobody has been held accountable for. We don't know who made that decision. We don't know that went all the way up to Secretary of State. In the Accountability Review Board report, Secretary of State Clinton was never even interviewed, never deposed. So there's an awful lot of information that we simply don't know, that I think the American people deserve to know.
When this attack happened, there were protests at embassies across the Middle East and probably security concerns everywhere. Was it just a matter of not knowing where something might happen and the available forces were spread thin?
Well, remember, Libya was a totally unique situation here. Yeah, we had the Arab Spring, and then we had protests in Cairo and throughout the Arab world. But Libya had just deposed Muammar Gaddafi. We had this consulate set up in Benghazi, and we were really one of the last remaining countries there because of the deteriorating security situation. The British ambassador was attacked. We had a 6-foot wide hole blown in the consulate wall, and yet we stayed there without armed guards. And again, this is conjecture, but I think this is probably a reasonable assumption, is that the reason we didn't provide armed guards is there was this narrative prior to the election that President Obama's policy of leading from behind, that was working well, that, Osama bin Laden was dead and al-Qaeda was supposedly on the run. That wasn't true. Al-Qaeda was metastasizing. It was become dangerous. It was very dangerous in Benghazi. But from my standpoint, that's probably why we didn't increase security and why we actually ramped it down Benghazi. And again, I just view that as a dereliction of duty that had the direct result of the fact that four Americans died that I don't believe had to. And again, nobody has been held accountable. And by the way, even though the president immediately said that we would bring justice to the terrorists, there's been no justice brought.
What would you like to have seen from the Obama administration about providing information about how they talked about this event in the, year and a half since?
Well, I would have appreciated the fact that they would have immediately told the American people the truth. I think it's pretty obvious, and of course my questioning of Hillary Clinton was pretty basic, and I was pretty respectful. I just said, why didn't you get on the phone and call the survivors? You wouldn't have had to, assume, you wouldn't have had to rely on talking points. You wouldn't have had to mislead the American public if you would have just called the survivors, because they would have said there was no protest. This attack started at 9:40 Benghazi time when those terrorists breached the wall. And so we could have actually been truthful with the American people for a number of weeks. So that's what I would have liked to have seen. And then since that point in time, provide Congress the relevant documents. What the Ben Rhodes email proves to us is, first and foremost, the White House did not fully comply with a congressional subpoena. That's pretty serious contempt of Congress from my standpoint. And then it also tells us that this cover-up, and that's why I think you can only take a look at it and say it's been a cover-up by this administration, was really hatched in the White House by, you know, somebody certainly involved with Ben Rhodes. So we're learning some things we should have learned a long time ago, and you would think by now politicians would realize that it's the cover-up that really gets them in a whole lot of trouble.
We've heard from some Democrats saying that Republican attention on Benghazi has been politically motivated. It's a talking point in this year's elections to damage Hillary Clinton, possible presidential run. Is that a fair attack?
No, because we wouldn't even be talking about it if we would have been told the truth immediately, if the administration would have fully complied with the subpoenas, and if there weren't so many unanswered questions. Aren't you somewhat curious what was President Obama doing the night of the attack? What exactly was Hillary Clinton? Are you kind of curious the fact that those two spoke about 10 o'clock at night? We do know that. And then about 8 minutes later, it was when the State Department really released one of the press releases that first starts to imply or implicate that, you know, the information on the Internet, I think is how they termed it. You know, so, again, I've got all kinds of questions. And what I can tell you is when I'm back in Wisconsin, a lot of Wisconsinites have a lot of questions, too, and they're demanding answers. So, you know, I think Republicans are justifiably responding to constituents' desire to get to the truth.
I want to get to a couple other issues before we're done. We saw a recommendation today from the FCC relating to the Internet and net neutrality, fast lanes on the Internet. You've said that Congress should get involved in the issue. What do you want Congress to do?
Well, from my standpoint, what Congress's role needs to be is really provide certain rules to foster maximum competition, which is good for consumers, you know, to protect consumers, and also maximum incentive for business investment and business innovation. And I think what the FCC just announced here on a totally partisan basis, I think will both harm consumers and really restrict investment in broadband, in the Internet, and as a result will really restrict innovation. And that's not good for our economy.
And do you think Congress should override what they've done and come up with some new policy?
Well, what's happened is a rule has been proposed and I believe put out for comment. I'm hoping that the public responds very forcefully to that comment period and realize really what's at stake. We are going to restrict, from my standpoint, the real free flow of information. We're going to restrict investment. And when you have all of this online content coming on stream through broadband, the last thing we want is companies that are actually investing in the infrastructure to carry all that content to not be willing to invest in the future. So we really are putting at risk future advancement of the Internet through, I think, this very unwise ruling.
And you've had an ongoing lawsuit related to the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. A couple points I'd like to bring up with that. There's been some criticism from groups mainly aligned with the Democratic Party saying you're using campaign funds, campaign money involved in that lawsuit. What is your response to what's been out there?
Well, first thing we did is check with Senate Ethics to find out how I could fund this lawsuit. And Senate Ethics either said I could pay for it personally, which I was willing to do, or use funds from my campaign. And I announced that the day I announced the lawsuit that I'd be paying it with the campaign funds. We haven't received a bill, so we haven't had anything to report yet. But I think what this shows is liberal groups understand how important this lawsuit really is, how it could be a landmark decision showing that this president, as in the words of Jonathan Turley, a liberal law professor here in Washington, said that this president has crossed the line, that we are at a constitutional crisis by his unilateral governance. And so that's really, you know, yeah, this is about a narrow regulation granted by the Office of Personnel Management. And that's the narrow issue of this lawsuit. The broader and the more important issue is the fact that Americans never wanted to be ruled by a king. We actually do value this tripartite form of government, the checks and balances to limit government intrusion to our lives, expand our freedom. That's really what's at stake, and that's the heart of my lawsuit.
And where is your lawsuit now? What's the status on that?
Well, Everything has been, you know, it's been filed, it's been responded to. The administration filed a motion to dismiss just based on standing issues. We responded to that. They responded to us. And now it's pretty much in the hands of the judge to rule first on standing, to, you know, rule that I have shown sufficient harm, or potentially that Congress has a role in here to really affirm our solemn oath to support and defend the Constitution by defending our powers, which are being degraded by the unilateral actions of this president. And hopefully this judge will also realize it's well past time for the judiciary to get involved in reviewing of this very important separation of power issue.
Senator Johnson, thanks so much for joining us again today. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
We've been talking to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.